Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Well, I did not hear. Sorry, you guys are excited today? Good morning. Good morning. Yes, we can do that again. I love Brother Dan every time, he greets with good morning, Pilgrim. And when I came to America first, and when I came to TAC first, and I asked him, hey, can you teach me to speak in like Texan language? Because he's more like a country boy, you know, like I thought like country is Texas, you know, Texan boy. And he taught me like, wah-ha-ha, Pilgrim. And and my reply was, wah-ha-ha, Pilgrim. And yeah, it's just, so it's always so encouraging and neat to have that way of greeting. Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank the Lord for this opportunity, what God has given me. I'm very humble to share his word. And I also would like to thank Pastor Sean for this opportunity he has given me. And thank you, Pastor Jessie. She sent me text message and keeping up on me and saying, hey, how are you doing? How was your preparation? And also thank you for all the people who have prayed for me. I felt your prayers while I was studying through the scripture. God has spoken to me, myself personally, through the scriptures I was doing, going through. So when Pastor Sean asked me to preach, and I said, sure, and I asked him, when is that? And he said, it's after Easter. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to preach on the Easter. So we're going to revisit the story of Easter, and we'll be visiting Luke chapter 24 and the story of resurrection. So resurrection story cannot be completed without death of Christ. So we want to talk a little, I want to just revisit, we all celebrated Good Friday, remembering what Christ has done for us. It's because of his death, our sins have been cleansed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, it says that, for God made Christ who knew no sin. He became sin for us, so that you and I, we can become right with God, or we become righteous with God. So that's a praise. Praise the Lord for his death. Now, we know that death is not the end. The resurrection is the beginning. Without resurrection, Christ's death is a tragedy, right? It's just like any other death. There's a lot of people who died, call themselves gods. We have a lot of gods in India. We have a lot of gods in, call themselves great people who all want to be worshipped like a god. But all the graves are still there. But it's Christ's grave is the only, it's an empty tomb. Hallelujah. 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 This is Indian way of doing it, so it'll be way of you guys keeping up with me, or if not, I'm going to keep up with you guys. So the resurrection is not a tragedy, but it is a mystery. It's a mystery to Satan. It's a mystery to the Pharisees and the Roman centurions and the Roman people. They were not expecting Christ to rise from the dead. It's a resurrection, it's a mystery to a lot of people, but it is not a mystery to us. It is a victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The people who put their trust in Jesus Christ, in the name above all names, they are in victory. We are walking in victory. We are in victory. The people who have hope in the resurrection. So today, we're going to visit the story. It's not even a story. It is an event. It is the biggest event on the history. You take any event on the history, I think that there is nothing can be compared to the story of resurrection. The event, I keep saying it's a story, but it's not a story. It is an event in the history, the greatest history. And guess what? The greatest history for the whole humanity. And God used women as a testimony. That's what we're going to see in the chapter 24. It begins with women. So in this chapter, we're going to interact with three kinds of people. First, we're going to interact with the people, women. And second, we're going to interact with the people, the two people walking to in the road of Emmaus, and the third, we're going to interact with the people, disciples of Jesus. So we're going to look at these three kinds of people in this chapter. So let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to read the chapter. And then I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We will not have time, but at least the first few verses. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in there, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their face to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. Hallelujah.
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 All right. As I said, in this chapter, we are going to interact with three people. The first is the woman. It's amazing. In the first century, we know that women are considered less. Their testimony is, it's not as far less than the man's testimony in that culture. If you ever want to make a story of a resurrection, you would not want to use women as a testimony. But God, in sovereign providence, it may be not the great, for the first century, it is not be the powerful thing. But for 21st century, it is a powerful thing. We can look back, wow, God used, you know, in the first century, the things to make it a powerful things in the 21st century. It is the greatest evidence we have in 21st century to do that. And we also know in the first century, we see that when women, since women are far less than the man testimony, and especially the woman who went to the tomb, there are three women. Do you remember all three women? And they have the same name. It's Mary. Wow, it's like almost everybody has his last names. So, and one of the women was demon possessed. There are seven demons has been released. And would you believe a woman with a demon possessed who released? It's hard. But the Christians in the early church, they did not want to give up the truth, whether it's going to take a big hit. They could have used Peter, they could have used James, they could have used Andrew, but God in sovereign providence, he knows that people like you and me sit here and looks back in thousands of years, that this could not have been a fake story. It's a real story, a real event. And God used women here in this way. But this is something apart from what we're going to speak today. Just I want to highlight that. And also, I want to highlight about the men. Do you know what men were doing? Wow. Hi. Someone is really, yes, they were hiding. And talk about betrayal in the story of the, in the Jesus of death and resurrection. Who betrayed Jesus? As soon as if I ask anybody who betrayed Jesus, what would you say? Judas, right? But have you ever guys thought about Peter? Man, he said he's going to die for you, Lord. And he even took the sword to cut one of the soldier's ear. But when the time come, moment came, they were not there. But once they encounter the resurrection Christ, what they talked about Peter is like, these are the people who are turning the world upside down. That's the power of the resurrection we have in Christ. We can turn things around. But today we're going to focus on how God has used women through this passage. What was going through to this people of women in this passage? What was going through this, the people who are going on the road of Emmaus and the people and the disciples, what was going on? The first thing we notice here that after the death of Christ, here we see on the first day of the week, early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they have prepared. Here we notice that, why do they take spices? They're not expecting Jesus to be risen from the dead. In the tradition, in the Jew, they put this when someone is died in the family, they put it in the tomb. They buy these tombs for the family. And they, whoever dies, they keep putting these bodies in the same tomb. And they apply spices for a couple of months or weeks. Then eventually, after a few years, they collect the bones, whatever leftover, and put it in a box. Something like this. It's called ossuary. It was hard for me to pronounce, but this is what the whole family bones will be collected and put it in this box and put it in this tomb. So the reason they're taking spices is like they're not expecting Jesus to come back. They know that after going to the Roman cross, how he was tortured, how he was buried, that woman has been watching. In the scripture, we see that. And where he has been buried, the woman has been watching. There is no hope for them to Jesus coming back. They have no hope. They were like putting spices and they're like willing to, maybe in the future, they're going to collect the bones and put it in one of these things. They lost hope. And he also, in the scripture, we see in other passages, in another gospels, that they were crying. They were preparing the spices. They were crying. They lost hope. They know that Jesus is not going to raise. They have a Roman guardians guarding it. And they have a big roll, stone, put in Jesus, where Jesus belonged. There's no chance that he could push it out and come out as a beaten man who is an dead man. He cannot do that. So there's no hope we can see in this in the passage. And we also want to show that, I want to show in the another passage, we talk about another second person is the road to Emmaus. There are two men. They also lost hope. You know, they're leaving Jerusalem and going away from Jerusalem because there is nothing there. Before it, Hosanna, people were shouting, Jesus, Hosanna, and praising him just a few days before. They're celebrating with the palms and calling him Son of David. They're remembering the David, the king. He's going to come back and establish kingdom. And they forgot about that. They worshiping and praising him. And that's what they were expecting. That's what they hoped for. Let's read in the same chapter where what these men were telling to Jesus. After Jesus resurrected, this is the interaction he's having with two people. They were walking away from Jerusalem, going back to the towns. And what they hoped for. And here, it's the discussions between Jesus and them. In the verse 19, it says that, and he said to them, what things? This is Jesus asking these two men. And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and words before God and all the people. But how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped, here is the line, but we have hoped that he was the one who to redeem Israel. Here is the woman, they thought he's going to come back, or they don't have any hope. They hope that he is the son of David. And here we see these people, they are hope that he's going to redeem Israel. And even the disciples, they thought he's going to be Peter. In the future, we're going to look at a few verses where Peter even rebuked Jesus. Hey, what are you talking? Why do you want to go and die and rise again? This is not what we are planning for. We are planning to establish the Israel, the God's kingdom here. You're going to send out all these Romans away, and you're going to be the king. And Peter even thought maybe he's going to be the right man for Jesus. But God had a different plan for Peter. God had a different plan through Jesus Christ. So today I'm walking through this passage of the resurrection one more time. The reason I am bringing back to this is the resurrection. When in time of resurrection, people lost hope. They thought he's dead, he's gone. Even in the disciples, we see in the book of John, John talks about disciples after Jesus' death. They went back, they're planning to go back to do fishing. Wow, talk about people who followed him for 3 years and saw him, walked with him, slept with him, saw his miracles, were under his teaching, and they decided to go back to fishing. Aren't we all like that? How many times we know we call ourselves Christians? We think we know Jesus, but at the same time, we always go back to our normal old life, the sinful life, or some habitual life, or things that are more powerful than us, the worldly things. That's pulling us away from God to live a holy life, to live a righteous life, to correct life. We can see and forget. And next, the last hope, and next I want to walk into is they forgot. Here in the scripture, on the 24, we see when the women were looking for Jesus in this empty tomb. We'll get back to that eventually. I want to come back to the empty tomb. But we see second thing, we realize that women were looking for Jesus in his dead, and the angels reply, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember." How many times we forget about God? Here, angel is trying to, people who is trying to remember them. It seems like when do you remember something? It's when you forget, right? How many of you forget your keys and look for it? I have done it. And recently, my wife Grace went to Ireland to visit with her sisters. When she left, I was taking care of the babies. So when you're taking care of the babies, you remember them to put their shoes on, clothes on, right? And put them in the car seat and the car seat belts on. But you do all these things and you forget something. Is the diaper bag. And that happened a couple of times. Even though I'm like, okay, I'm going to remember next time. But I keep forgetting to take it sometimes because I'm not used to it much. And when you don't, if you forget things, what happens? You have to smell the whole time. So human beings we are forgetful. We forget what God has done in our life. We forget we walked with him. We forget how we were before Christ. We forget a tendency. And as we get old, and we forget things, and we don't know why we forget things. And sometimes we are with Christ, living with Christian life for so long, we forget what it is like to be with walk with the Lord. We forget the taste of God. We become numb to it. And this is what's happening here. We can learn from this passage that they lost hope, and they forgot what God has told them. And I want to point out two things. Why did they forget God? Why did they forget God? We can see through the two things from the passage on the verse 24. Jesus talking to these people chapter 24. Jesus talking to angels reminding why they forgot. Angel is reminding them. And I also wanted to point out, and Jesus reminding the disciples in the road to Emmaus and to the disciples. Let's look first into the chapter 24, verse 44, where after Jesus appears to the disciples, he's reminding them. Then he said to them, why did they forget? It's because these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, that he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So God, he's reminding them because they forgot about what prophets and Moses scriptures has been spoken about him. And he shows them again, same thing, to the road to Emmaus. When they forgot, how did they forgot God? Because they did not pay attention to the scriptures. Or they did not pay attention to what Moses and prophets has been saying. And even to the people who are walking to the Emmaus road, he tells them, oh, foolish ones, slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And it has necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and turn into his glory. Even the angels reminds them to the ladies. He tells that, remember what the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and the third day should be raised. So they forgot, and the angels is reminding them, and Christ is reminding them through the scripture to the prophets what has been spoken. What has been spoken. And what does scripture speaks about? And here I also want to point out, what is the scriptures is about? I want to take you to a passage in John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus talking to the priest, talking to the elders and Pharisees and the leaders of the church here, he talks about, he says that, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. The people are looking into the scriptures for eternal life. But the scripture, the eternal life is that they bear witness about me. If you refuse to come to me, that you may have life. So here Christ is saying that you look for scriptures, you're looking for a king, you're looking for a hope, you're looking for establish the godly kingdom, you're looking for to remember him forever, but you're looking at the wrong places. You're looking at the scriptures, but scripture is talking about me. It is about my life. It is about eternal life. The eternal life is, it's God. And Jesus opened the scriptures and talks to these disciples and to this road to Emmaus, these two men. He opens that eternal life is in me. The scripture speaks about me. The prophets has been talking about me. And this reminded them. And also we see in the scriptures, God opened their minds to understand. Sometimes we don't understand. We don't understand how God works. Sometimes our hopes are different. Sometimes we don't get what is God is doing in our lives. We need to go back to the scripture and see what is God is revealing to us. Jesus himself opened the scriptures to reveal who he is. He didn't say, hey, let's guess what do you think about me. Let's guess like what do you do. No, we always go back to the scripture to know about God, about scripture. God does speak to us in different ways, but it has to be aligned with God. God's the scripture. Christ himself have opened the scriptures from the beginning, from the Moses, the prophets, to the Psalms, spoke that it's been speaking about me. And they're speaking about is the eternal life. Scripture reveal about Jesus that you may have life. And his death and resurrection is the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where do you get your resurrection life? Where do you find life? It is in his death and his resurrection. Death to sin, resurrection to life, the victory we have. Hallelujah. So I said in the beginning, I said, why did they forget? And I went different way. So I want to come back to that. Why did they forget is the first thing. Why did they forget? Let's see on the chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus talking to this man in the Emmaus. He says that, oh, foolish ones, and slow to hear to believe. They were very slow to believe about Jesus. They were slow to believe about, believe what Christ has promised, that he's going to be dead and he's going to rise again. It's like, maybe, maybe not. It's kind of that they were slow to believe. When he opened the scriptures, they completely believed. So I want to encourage you, if there is anything in your life, in the spiritual life, you cannot trust God. It's hard to trust God or slow to believe. Examine ourselves. Out of the areas of our life, we are very ignorant about God. God is there, but he's up somewhere. We have seen a lot of people in this world. People are called agnostics. They believe in God, but there is no personal relationship with him. They believe there is some higher power. They're very slow in believing. They do not give full, completely. You know why? Let's see why they are slow in believing. It's because, let's go back to Matthew chapter 16, 21. Why they are slow in believing? Because their mindset or things are on the world. Let's see. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. We'll start reading there. Discussion between Jesus and the Peter. So now in Jesus, he's telling this. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Here Jesus telling to the disciples. And the Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it for you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned to said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. There is so much to unpack this. There's so much we can talk about this. But here we see they were slow in heart, and because the reason is because they set the things on the world, things of men. That's the only reason. That's the reason they couldn't completely had a hope that Jesus would come back. They forgot what God has been teaching them and telling them. We see here, and the interesting passage is like, whenever Jesus tells them, hey, I'm going to be died, I'll raise back again. And Peter pulls Jesus aside and rebukes him. How dare he do that? I can't imagine pulling someone. We know every time when someone pulls them aside and rebuke him, it should be like, you should be, you have guts to do that, especially Jesus. But Jesus knows his purpose and his will. What his purpose is in will, to die and raise again and give the resurrection, eternal life to us. That's what scriptures has been spoken, and scriptures has to be fulfilled. That was a Christ's goal. And like Peter, who doesn't have a slow off heart believing, or do not want, they want to have a hope of establishing earthly kingdom, Peter pulls Jesus aside and said, rebukes him. He's rebuking Jesus. It is a big deal. It is, who can rebuke Jesus? He is Satan. It's sometimes you think you're close to God. It's Satan have influence on you. Sometimes Satan is the one who's talking to you to walk you away from fulfilling God's will in your life. We have to watch out. We have to watch. We have to go back to the scripture again and again to understand that. So here, but I like the Jesus reply is more stronger than him. When Peter rebuked him, but Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Wow, get behind me. Like I couldn't even say like, get behind me, Satan. You know, have you heard this before? But it sounds really rude, but you have to be rude. You have to be rude. Like, oh, you have to use nice words sometimes. But when this is, something is wrong, when something is God's will is not being accomplished, the eternal life, the death and resurrection is being stopped because of the things of the world, you have to be rude. You have to live for God. You, whatever the truth may come, you have to stick with it through the scriptures. Look at the scriptures, whatever things it could be. We have to stand and be like Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Let God's will be done so that the whole humanity can be saved. The eternal life can be gained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why did they forget? Because they were slow of heart and they had the things of men. Their mindset was on earthly things rather than the eternal things. So that is the passage. This is what's going on in the passage. So we looked at three people in this passage in the chapter. One is a woman, people who are walking into Emmaus Road, and third, we see the disciples. We've seen the interactions with Jesus and the angel, and Jesus and the angel have reminded them, remember what he told you in the Galilee, that he must be died and raised again so that we all have resurrection power that we can experience, whoever puts trust in Jesus. So let's put our trust in Jesus to experience as the believers in Christ. Let's have that hope let's not forget things. So here, now let's do the application part. Let's look into the application part, what we have walked through this passages right now. So what is the application plus? How many of you lost hope? Don't tell me I never lost hope. Everybody's there is sometime lost hope. Lost hope is not like lost and you went, like it's not like you went, you know, dead of like being a homeless. There is a situation when people have done lost hope and lost everything. And I'm saying lost hope on your own life, on your own, children, or you know, life in a job, or people, expectations in relationships, husband and wife, and you lost hope in God. You probably lost hope in God. And what happens when you lose hope that Jesus is not coming back? What do? You go to the graveyard. You go to the empty tomb. How many times when we lost hope, we are going back to this emptiness? Don't have hope in God that he's going to be raised back again. You're taking the spices, whatever things you that helps you feel better, like going back to the old life, how the tradition has done, taking the spices and to apply to the dead body, seeking the things in the dead. And the angels beautifully says that, why are you seeking? living things in dead. And how many, what are the things we are seeking in an empty tomb? What is the things we are seeking in an empty dead without Christ? You know, how often we turn toward worldly things, to worldly people. Sometimes if you are a politician buff in politics, you think that politics would help you or help the nation. How many times we turn to our money, or how many times we turn to our own efforts? We try to pull by the bootstraps. You know, this is American terminology. I mean, I learned this. We try to pull by yourself. You don't need a family. I don't need society. I can do whatever I want. It applies not only personal life, even to spiritual life. God is there, but he's somewhere. But we try to pull by our own straps. And that's, we are looking at empty things because they don't give you, you're not rescued. Your soul is not rescued by that. So, and sometimes people are longing for self-worthiness, looking for things in friendship, job, education, acceptance by people. There are so many things we are lost hope and looking for things, looking for hope, looking for life, but we can only find in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have experienced, and many of you have already experienced, but sometimes we forget. Forgetfulness. Is there any forgetfulness? Remember, and you forget is when you don't remember. When you don't remember, it seems like you don't have hope. It's almost like remembering hope and forget is almost interlinked together. You know, when you forget, you lose hope. When you lose hope, you forget. Or when you don't, if you remember something, you have hope in it. If you don't hope in it, you don't remember. If that makes sense, am I confusing? All you need to remember is remember. That's the today message. All you need to remember. So that's what God has done through his resurrection. But so today, I want to revisit again. So is there something you forgot? Forgetfulness, I just talked about. How many times have we forgot about to love God? How many times have forgot that God is with you, that his presence is with you? How many times you forgot that when you beat up by the storms of the world, with our physically, emotionally, mentally, stresses of this world, we have been beat down? How many times we forgot that God is with us? Today, the angels are reminding us, even scripture, even Jesus reminding them, opening the scripture, said, remember what I've told you. Remember his sin and death. Remember what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary can resurrect anything in our lives. Resurrect for his kingdom, for the eternal life, for eternal purpose. So what we have seen so far, just I want to recap to your attention and we'll move forward. From the passages we've seen, women and disciples forgot, lost hope. They were slow in heart to believe and had their hearts on things of man, such as to redeem Israel, establish earthly kingdom. Pastor Sean has been talking about mindset of having a heavenly kingdom. The whole series last week, talking about heavenly kingdom. And I hope this has helped our mindset to change from earthly kingdom. But here we see disciples who are followers of Christ still had the set on the earthly kingdom healthy, not in the death and the resurrection of Christ, which gave eternal life. When that hope has gone, led to disappointment, hopelessness, tear, and began to look for living things among the dead in empty places. But angels was reminding them about Jesus' words. Jesus was about eternal life. End of chapter 24, we see Jesus opens the scriptures to explain to disciples what was written and spoken through the mouth of the prophets and Psalms about his death and the resurrection. Jesus has shown the disciples it's not about the worldly power, not worldly hopes or worldly things of man, but it's about eternal life through his death and resurrection. This has been all along planned since the beginning. So resurrection is about eternal God, about eternal salvation and eternal restoration of humanity to God. That's it. Resurrection is restoration. Restoration of the relationships with God. It's not with the world. It's not what the world looks like. Not what the world it is, but His restoration is through resurrection by his kingdom coming down. That's the next. Remember that we are called into his ministry to be in his kingdom. That to remember that you are part of his God's kingdom. So before that, we going into that, I also want to remember that, I want to stress again, when you lost hope, we have to remember that God is with us. In Isaiah chapter 40, 31, we says that those who put hope in the Lord, in Isaiah, he talks that they roar like a, not roar, soar like an eagle. Obviously, you roar like a lion too. Those who put hope in the Lord, they would soar like an eagle. So let's put our hope in the Lord. The hope in the man is it's going to disappoint you. Tell me you are not disappointed with someone in your life. Oh boy. Yes. And how many times you forget? I've been learning with my kids. How many times they forget the same thing over and again? Hey, put your shoes in wrong way, wrong foot. Or don't do this. Don't paint the wall. Don't scratch. They keep forgetting. Sometimes we are like children. We know to do the right thing, but we forget. Sometimes some forgetting is like without knowing, like taking a diaper bag or forgetting your keys. But there is some things you forget intentionally. Like I was giving an example. Remember, if everybody remember your oaths you made in your marriage, you remember that, but do you remember that you being a, I missed it. Do you remember the oath? Yes, you all remember, but do you being that husband you are? Do you remembering to be that one? Are you remembering to be that husband or wife? Are you remembering to be the promise you made to Christ? Are you going to be that one? Or slowly, like little bit here, little bit there, ingenuity, or it's okay, nobody's hurting, or like seeing, living in a sinful life, little by little. There's no intentionality. That's what I'm saying. You forget to be intentional with God or with our life. So this is a reminder again that that don't forget, not just like a little thing, but intentionally trying to make that effort to work with your pals or work with God and work with our situations wherever we are. That's I want to be encourage you to remember. So remember does not put you to shame. In Romans 5:5, it says the hope does not put you to shame or disappointment, because God's love has been poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Let's try to put our hope in Jesus. Let us not forget that he is our hope. And it's not like intentionally remembering that. Not just remembering, but being intentional. So I want to go further by saying that I also want to remember who you are in Jesus. And we all know through the death and resurrection, Christ has bought us. You are paid. He shed his blood. You are bought with a price. In the Romans 8:1, it says that because he bought you with a price, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be afraid when we stand before God for our lives. But because you are bought with a price. You are one with Christ. You have the eternal God. You belong to eternal God for eternal life. Oh my gosh, goodness. You belong to eternal God. Do you understand the concept of it? The God who created the whole earth, you and me, knows you really deep in our hearts who we are, and he's one with us, who raised the Christ, the power that he put in us, who believes in him. That's what in the chapter 24, Jesus tells them, we'll read more, like what we are called to, like the repentance and forgiveness that can be proclaimed. Whoever repented and received the forgiveness, you have this power of Christ that raised Christ from the death. We are walking. We are one with God in that way. We belong to eternal God. You are walking with the same power that raised Jesus from the death. And we have so many examples in the Bible that between you and God, like you are the branches. He is the vine. He is the rock that you stand. And, you know, he's the cornerstone for your whole life to build upon. The whole house is built upon him. So, I would encourage that you remember who you are. And Pastor Sean, last week he spoke about who you are in Christ, the kingdom mindset. In the kingdom, you are to reign. You've been called. You've been dominance. You know, when you reign, When you talk about top reigning, what comes to your mind? My first thought was, with a crown, a king with a big robe, he's walking around, he's reigning, you know, like, hey, you do this, you do that. But God, it's not the reigning of the worldly way, but reigning of God's goodness, God's holiness, God's grace, God's forgiveness. That's how you reign the world. That's where you've been called to. I also want to remember who you were before Christ. Do you know what Pastor Sean was talking about last week? Who you were before Christ? You were dead. You probably thought I was a pretty good person before. I was a good person. I mean, I'm fine. I mean, Bible doesn't say that you were a pretty good person, but when you came, become, you're more better. No, Bible said you were dead, period. There is no chance coming back. You trespassed in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 2. It says that you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, and still working in people who doesn't know Jesus. That's where you were dead in trespassing, breaking the law of God, falling according to your own hearts. But Christ Jesus has brought us by his with his blood, with a price, and gave us that resurrection power in us so we can walk in power. You have heard this sermon many times. You have probably heard the message of hope many times. You have heard many times, like, don't forget God. Hey, don't forget to do like this. Do, you know, live your life like this. But today I want to remind you to remember. That's the topic. I wanted to put my sermon title, remembering to remind you, or remind to remember, but I thought, this is too confusing. Let's put remember. So if all the message, whatever I spoke today, if you don't remember anything, just remember God, who you were, what God made you, and what kind of power you have with God and who you are in God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I'm almost done. So this is, before, one more thing, I also want to point out, remember, we forget when we have all things. Sometimes this could happen. When you have all the things, you forget. This is what happened with Israelites. Human beings, we get so used to it, then you forget the power of it. When you don't have formal life, you were a sinner, but when you came to Christ, God changed it. And sometimes we tend to settle down, slowly sink into the couch, and you don't know how it's to be, like when you had a firm couch, or I don't know, that's a bad example. But we see in the life of Israelites, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it talks about Lord talking to through Moses to the people. When the Lord brings you to the land he sworn to your fathers, when your houses were full of good things, when you live in good cities with fountains and springs flowing out of the valleys and hills, plenty of food like wheat, barley, fig trees. This is, I paraphrased all the chapters, all that as I was reading through. Fig trees, pomegranates. Hey, pomegranates, the fruit made it to it. I don't know why mangoes are my favorite. have vineyards and olive trees. When you eat and full become proud and wealthy, beware you least forget the Lord. There's a chance sometimes this happens. In the Deuteronomy, same, he says, be careful, keep your soul diligently, watch yourself closely, lest you forget these things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And he continued to say, hey, don't forget. And he also says them, tell them to your children. Not only children, but to your grandchildren. How many of you remind to your children how God has done in your life? How many times do you remind them what God is doing in your life? And the Bible over and over and over again, remember what God has done to you. Remember your past, remember your fathers, remember. And not only remember to yourself, but tell for the future. And that's so that is the message, the resurrection. Resurrection is not remembering, but we have to tell that story of resurrection, the power it has to the people, the power it has. So Pastor Sean, last week has been the series, that Thy Kingdom Come. We are going to tell about that kingdom. We have to leave that kingdom. And, you know, And the last words of Jesus before he's taken up to the heaven ascension, he gave these words. In Matthew, in Mark, and Luke, we have on the gospel a different way of explaining, but they all say the same thing. They say, go share, make, bring witness. Go share to the world, share the gospel, make the disciples, bring healing emotionally, physically, spiritually, and be my witness. This is the last words of Jesus. And we know it's very important. Any dead man is dying. If he says something before he's dead, that's very important, right? And these are the important words. It's like, go to the world. Sometimes we can't go to the world, but we can go to our neighbor, share the gospel. Sometimes it's hard to share, but you can still say Jesus loves you or died for you and raised again. If you put hope in him, you have eternal life. Make disciples. We have people like Pastor Jesse, she's like, if you can't make a disciple, bring them to her or like have a disciple book. So whatever that looks like, we can be part. But I think bringing healing, emotional, physical, spiritual, we can do that. I think everybody can do that. Everybody can do everything, actually. God has called it. God has the power in us. We can do it. But one of the highlight important thing is be my witness. Witness is very powerful, I think, because you can't be a witness without seeing something or experience something. And have you experienced that? Have you witnessed Christ in your own life, the resurrection power in your own life? If not, we can come to the cross and you can experience that personally. That will rejuvenate. That's what happened. They were rejuvenated, Christ's resurrection, and the church has begun. That's what the disciples have turned the world around, upside down, when they walk around. They did healings. They did miracles. They preached the gospel with powerful. And they had so much healing has happened. So let's open our scriptures. Music team, you can come up. Let's open our scriptures, like how Christ has opened the scriptures to tell them about what prophets has been speaking, what Scripture has been written about him. It's about his eternal life. It's about his death and resurrection. I hope that you find this hope and you remember who God is and find that hope in Jesus. And may God continue to walk you in this. Let's bow our heads and we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne one more time. Grace, thank you for the word you have spoken to us. Yes, Lord, help us to be, not to look for things in earthly, worldly things, but rather help us remember to put our hopes in you. The hope is in the scriptures. It's hope in you, Lord. We can find that hope in the scriptures because your scripture speaks about you, the eternal life. Thank you for dying for us, giving us that resurrection life in a new. Submit this day and this time and our hearts into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Romans 8 says, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of the sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much that we serve a risen Savior, that you are still risen and you are still reigning in heaven. We thank you that the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. We thank you that that resurrection power through the Holy Spirit in us is greater than our hopelessness. It is greater than our sin. It is greater than our shame. It is greater than sickness. Lord God, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for conquering death and for setting us free. In Jesus' name, amen.